I'd like to talk about something that we probably know about, probably can relate to the imagery that I'd like for us to get in our minds this morning. So, I'll write this on the board. I'd like to talk to you about snowballs and dominoes. I know that all of us have probably made a snowball, and not that there's any snow looming in the near future, I hope, but it'll come. Somebody has predicted that our weather this winter is going to be cold and snowy, but it remains to be seen. I know the Lord will help us during that time. I'm not a snow person. I just prefer not to have to deal with snow. But anyway, I think it's pretty when you can stay in the house and look outside and see it. But when you got to work on an old car that's got about a 500 pounds of snow stuck on the bottom side of it, it's not a very pleasant thing to deal with. So anyway, snowballs. The whole idea is we get a little snow packed together, you get the right level of moisture. If the snow is too dry, it don't want to stick, and if it's too wet, it's too smushy and it won't stick together. But you get the temperature and the moisture content just right, and you can make a snowball, and then you can roll that snowball across the ground, and what does it do? It gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And I can remember as a child having a few opportunities to build a snowman and rolling that snow around until the ball was so big I couldn't roll it anymore, and then go from that to building another one that was a little smaller and trying to hoist it up on top of that one. And all of those kind of, and you know, it always works better if you build a snowman and then it snows to kind of smooth out all your imperfections. But a snowball, the concept I want us to relate to is that we can take a little something, pack it together, and begin to roll it, and it starts sticking, and it gets bigger and bigger. So there's a scripture that I'd like for us to look at over here in Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter, and we're going to use it initially like it's commonly used, and which I don't think is 100% right, and then we're going to come back a little later and apply it in a more technically correct manner. But in Deuteronomy 32 in verse 30, it says, "How should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight?" So we'll just stop there. That's the middle of the verse. And that's what most people relate to and most people remember. One chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight. Well, it's an extraordinary concept. And how does it work? It works because there's some adhesion and then there becomes more, you know, somebody can correct me if I'm wrong on this, but adhesion is a word that means an attraction or a bond between two dissimilar or two different substances, and cohesion is an attraction or a sticking together of something of like substance or like materials. So it's quite a concept to think that if one can put 1,000 to flight and two put 10,000, it's exponential. And it's something that I believe portrays the idea of a snowballing effect. And I want our life, obviously, to have a snowball effect. You know, there have been people that have experienced a hailstorm and have went out and picked up hailstones out of the yard and maybe things that hit their car or their house or something like that, and put them in little Ziploc bags or something and put them in the deep freeze so that they could be preserved, so they'd have proof that something fell and beat their roof off of their house or put the dents in their cars or whatever it might be. But snowballing is different than that. Snowballing is when there is cohesion amongst those of like components or similar interest and similar focus and desires. And you know, we want our spiritual man to be something that begins to snowball. It's kind of like sometimes we have a perception of certain things being good or bad, and it becomes relative to what we're talking about. So as a general rule, and I'm not disagreeing with this, fat is bad, right? We think that if somebody is overweight, that's a negative thing. But you know, fat souls are something that's healthy and beautiful. a fat cat, I mean, really, would you want to eat from a cow that was skin and bones? I wouldn't. If I have hamburger, I have steak, I want it to come from a cow that had plenty to eat. I wanted them to eat so much that they just went and laid down and chewed their cud. I want them to feel just completely full all the time. And if you want to massage that cow every day so it's nice and tender for me to eat later on, that's okay too. I want them to be fluffy and all of that. And I want our souls to be well fed. And I want it to be something that begins to snowball and to grow. And when you come in here, you can just barely waddle in, so to speak. I want us to have a snowballing effect in our spiritual man. I want, when as you roll along in life, I want it to start to attract those things. You know, we hear had an old expression as I grew up: birds of a feather flock together. You've heard that. Some of you have. So, what does it mean? It means that the type of and the caliber of person that you are, you're going to gravitate to more like you. It'll happen to all of us. You have a mind that dwells on things that are honorable and upright. Guess what? You're going to, if you're in a conversation with somebody and you can tell the conversation is going in the wrong way, what are you going to do? You're going to move on. You're going to find somebody else to talk to. You find somebody that's talking about wholesome things and things that's upright and things that are honest and things that are edifying, and you're going to stay there. And next thing you know, there'll be somebody else that'll come along that left that other conversation and they joined you. And before you know it, there'll be a group of like-minded people there. They'll all be talking about appropriate things. They won't be slipping in things that's disgusting and things that's shouldn't be talked about. They're not going to be doing that. And it's because they're birds of a feather. Usually that's used in a negative context too. But as our soul begins to snowball, one chasing 1,000, two putting 10,000 to flight, that concept of accumulation is something that I want us to get and realize. If we're not accumulating, if our soul is not getting fat, then what is our appetite? It's just, we ought to think about that. What am I craving? Am I craving something that would make my soul skinny, or am I craving things that will make my soul fat? So I'd like to move on to 2 Peter, the first chapter, and the fifth verse. And notice what Peter said over here in the New Testament, 2 Peter chapter 1, He says here, beginning verse 5, maybe we might, he's talking about people that, maybe verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding and great promises, that by these ye might be partaker of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We have turned a corner. We've changed direction. If we are Christians, if we are endeavoring to live for the Lord, we have escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith, your belief that Jesus is the Son of God, that He's the Messiah. Add to your faith virtue, and your virtue knowledge. You see how this is accumulating? And to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. And if these things be in you and abound, they make that ye should neither be skinny nor unfruitful. You won't be you will be fat, is what it said, and your soul will be fat. But how does it accumulate? You got to start somewhere. You got to start by believing. You got to start by accepting that Jesus died for our sins. But let's don't just stop there, because we'll be a skinny Christian. You know, one of my sons has a calf. And I call it a calf because it's not very big, but it's going close to 3 years old. And it ought to be, given its genetics and all of that, it probably ought to weigh probably 1,200 pounds, 1,500 pounds, maybe more. And it probably weighs 900 pounds. Why? Well, there's a secret. His mama died. And he got separated from that nourishment that he should have got. And he didn't grow. And he became what we call a runt. And his ears was big and his body was little. And as time has went on, he has grown very slowly. And sometimes we can grow slowly spiritually, but we have to be committed to growing. And we have to be willing to add. Just look at this. This is our recipe for snowballing as a Christian. One of them is to add to your faith virtue. Did you know you don't really know how to be good until you learn how to be good? You don't know what's right until sometimes you get understanding about what's right. So he says, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance. Temperance, what does that mean? That means rational. That means we like an even temperature. We came in here this morning, and my wife thought it was too cold. I don't know what she thinks now, but the thermostat is controlling the temperature. And when it starts to get warm, the thermostat turns the air conditioner on and brings the temperature down. And there is a level of fluctuation there, but it's nothing like it would be if we didn't have a thermostat. Okay? If we had no thermostat and we had a switch to turn on for it to be cool and a switch to turn it off when it was too cool, it would fluctuate a lot, wouldn't it? Because we might come down and turn it on early in the morning, and if it's not really cold or really hot outside, by the time we got here, it'd be too cold, and we'd turn it off, and by the time we realized we was hot, then it'd be too hot. But he said, we're adding something to our spiritual walk, and it's called temperance. Is there going to be fluctuations in life? Yes. But God wants us to add temperance. When discouraging things happen, we don't throw everything out the window. And when good things happen, we don't forget that we're still a Christian. You know, many times people that are blessed financially and they begin to really prosper, they forget that it's God's blessings that give them that. And they lose their orientation and they're not temperate. They didn't add. What was we adding temperance to? He says knowledge. He's not adding, is knowledge what can make us prosper? If we understand more, then there's an ability to be more prosperous, spiritually speaking, but temporally as well. We'll throw that in there. If you have more knowledge and understanding, our world is committed to that. You got to have an education. We hear that from the time our children enter into this world. You got to have an education. They got to go to college. All of this kind of thing. And why is it? Because they feel that knowledge is the key to prosperity. Well, I'm not disagreeing with that altogether, but knowledge about spiritual things is the key to spiritual prosperity. But if you feel like you're really gaining some ground and you really got this thing of living for God by the tail, if you don't have temperance added to that, there's going to come something else besides snowballing. He says, add to your knowledge temperance. And add to temperance patience. You know, life is full of lessons on patience. It takes a lot of time for things to work out for the good to them that love the Lord. Did you know that? You know, you can say you believe that God promised that all things would work out for good to them that are the call, the ones that are committed to living for Him, and I believe that. But sometimes we have to have a lot of patience for that to be realized. He said, into patience, godliness. Godliness, brotherly kindness. And the brotherly kindness, charity. He says, if these things be in you and abound, they will make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We will begin to snowball. It will begin to grow and accumulate. And I want us individually, to snowball and not start to melt. I want us to begin to snowball. I want us to begin to grow as individuals. It's been my burden from the time I got here 18 years ago. It's still my burden today. That we would snowball and grow. And if that's true as individuals, I believe the snowball effect will be in our numbers. Those that we're able to reach and those that we're able to touch around about us. In some locations of this world, of this country particularly, there's a saying, talks about somebody enjoying things in life and painting it as a desirable thing, and they call it flinging a craving on somebody. You ever had anybody fling a craving on you? If you see someone that's real happy at doing something, it might be fishing, and they just act like they totally enjoy that. You know, they can cause you to want to go buy a fishing pole. You see someone, I've noticed this at our camp meetings this summer. Somebody brought a unicycle to camp meeting. And because they brought a unicycle to camp meeting, it flung a craving on some other young men. And by the time it was all over, I saw a unicycle that had a pedal and a chain, and the seat was up here. They had to climb up on a fence post to get on the thing, and they were riding that around. You know, do you think I could learn to ride a unicycle? Don't say no, because I think I can't. I think I can learn to ride a unicycle. In fact, I rode one a little bit a long time ago, and I think I could do it again. You know how bad I want to? Not very bad. Now, I'm going to tell you, it don't really fling a craving on me for those 18-year-olds and 12-year-olds and 10-year-olds to ride a unicycle. But if I go to camp meeting and Brother Ivan is riding a unicycle, look out. He's liable to fling a craving on me. If I go down and visit Jamie's mom and dad and her dad's riding a unicycle around the house, I might be wanting to get me one. I might decide I want to ride a unicycle. You know what happens when other people see that you're enjoying being a Christian? It might fling a craving on them. They get this idea that it's a good thing to do. Why somebody would want to ride a unicycle, I don't know. It's just kind of proven that you can, all right? Because there's really not a lot of benefit of just having one wheel under you. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. Opportunity, fulfillment, happiness, peace, and contentment all go hand in hand with the snowball effect. Did you get that? Opportunity, fulfillment, happiness, peace, and contentment. All of those things all go hand in hand with the snowball effect. You don't have peace and contentment without some opportunity being somewhere in the mix. You don't have opportunity without fulfillment. You don't have fulfillment without happiness, and it all begins to start to accumulate. You teach a young child how to put letters together and to spell and recognize letters and start to recognize words and paint that in a desirable thing. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to start reading. And the more you encourage them to have an atmosphere where they can read, the more they will read. So let's fling a craving on others. You know how you get children to eat green stuff? Now, some of y'all have in the age bracket of starting to teach children, and I've been there, done that. And you know, you can act like you relish broccoli and green beans and cauliflower and all of those kind of things, and those little children, for long, they'll want it. When they see you saying, honey, these green beans are delicious. This broccoli and cheese, this is out of this world. This is wonderful. And I really like Brussels sprouts. And you know what? Pretty soon they're going to say, Daddy might look over and say, would you like a little bite? What are they going to say? Daddy's bragging on it and he acts like it's good. Are they going to look at it and say, mm-mm. It won't be long and they'll say they want a little bite. You just got to keep working on them. Keep causing this snowball effect, and before long, they'll eat everything that's set before them. It's a snowball thing. You got to fling a craving on them. So what about this other word that I put on the board? Dominoes. You know what dominoes are. Them little things that's probably any more made out of plastic most of the time with the little white ones with black dots or black ones with white dots or whatever they are. They're just little things, and people play games with them. And some people play serious games with them and gamble and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, before you learn how to add up all those dots and know how to put them together and all of that, there's another thing that little children can learn to do. You can stand dominoes up in a row, and when you tip one of them over and it hits the next one and that one hits the next one, you can just tip one of them and watch those dominoes go and all of them fall over. And that's what I'd like to talk about just a little while. So on one case, one side of the equation or the fence this morning, we have a snowball effect. And how we conduct ourselves, I want us to get this point, how we conduct ourselves in our life's work, in our area of responsibilities, and all of those kind of things will either fling a craven on people or it won't. And I challenge us today to fling a craven on people to want what we got spiritually, in our relationships, in our abilities. I want us to fling a craven on other people. It's a snowball effect. All right? But there's another alternative, and it's called the domino effect. So let's go back to that scripture in Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter, and the 30th verse. And I want us to see what it really means, and I don't want to spoil the concept because I believe it is correct. But you know who it was talking about? He says, how should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 except the rock had sold them and the Lord had shut them up? For the rock is not as our rock, even our enemies themselves being judges. So he's talking about the enemies of the Israelites being able to cause them to run scared. And why did it happen? Is because they forsook the Lord. They lost their rock. And you know, if we lose our connection with God and we stop snowballing and getting fatter, we're going to start running scared. That's our other option. And if I fall, guess who else is most susceptible to fall? My wife, my children, those around me that I could have been flinging a craven on, they're going to start dropping, as we would say, like flies. It's going to have a domino effect. I cannot afford to allow myself to get in a place to where I could be chased by the enemy. It takes everything we got to resist toppling over. But that's what that scripture is really talking about. It's talking about the Israelites running scared. And if one of their enemies could chase 1,000, two of them will make 10,000 of them run. Well, why? Because they lost their connection with God. And you know what will cause us to drop like flies? Is when we lose our personal connection with God. So I'd like to move on to another verse. I'd like to go to Judges, the 7th chapter. And this is probably one of the, to me, it's one of the most startling pictures in the scripture of a domino effect. I'd like to go to Judges chapter 7. We'll look in verse 13. And the setting is that Gideon was to go down and drive out the Midianites, and the Lord had whittled his army down to where he had 300 men. And so, let's start in verse 12. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for multitude, and their camels were without number as the sand by the seaside for multitude. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow. You know why, where he was at? He went down to the edge of the camp of the Midianites because God told him, if you're still afraid, go down there and listen. You're going to hear something. And, you know, even after Gideon said, I'll do whatever you want to do, you've put dew on the fleece, you kept the fleece dry. You told me how to pick the men. You told to let all the scared ones go home, and you told me to pick only the ones that would keep their weapons in their hand when they drank from the stream. And I'm down to 300 men, and by your grace, I'm going to go through. And he went and listened. You know what that means? He was still afraid. You know, he was just as human as me. And I can be doing everything I know the Lord told me to do, and I can still be struggling with some fears. I want you to know that's not abnormal. All right? So he told him, so go down and listen by the camp of the Midianites. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellows and said, behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian and came into a tent and smote it that it fell and overturned it, and the tent lay along, or it just flattened out on the ground. And his fellow answered and said, oh, this is nothing else save the son of this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. For into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the hosts. So what happened? That first domino just went, got fear in their eyes and quaking in their shoes, so to speak. And that first domino tipped over. And what did it hit? Let's read. Let's go down to the 21st verse. And they stood, every man in his place, round about the camp, and all the host who stood, Gideon and his men, with trumpets, torches, and they blew their trumpets, and they broke those pitchers over the torches and held them up, and they cried aloud and said, what? The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And what had those fellows been dreaming about? Oh, this little barley cake, pretty harmless looking thing, wasn't it? Come rolling down in the camp and hit my tent. A little barley cake knocked my tent over. What's the probability? Not very good. You know, a rock couldn't have knocked, a big rock wouldn't have knocked the tent over. Might have went, punched a hole in it. It might have made a noise, but it wouldn't have knocked the tent over. And a barley cake, there ain't no way. But that's what he dreamed. Barley cake come rolling down into the camp, knocked his tent over, flattened it out on the ground. And the other guy said, oh my, I'm telling you, that's the sword of Gideon. That's what that is, and it's going to destroy us. So what do they wake up to? Horns blowing, men shouting, and lights flickering in the dark. And what did they do? It said, right here, it says, the camp and all the hosts ran and cried and fled. Those dominoes started. Have you ever seen anybody set up a bunch of dominoes and then tip them over? What had happened? Just brrr, it might take several minutes even for all of them to fall. They ran and cried and fled. You can read on. You know how many people were slain of the Midianites? 120,000. 120,000. That would be pretty much physically impossible for 300 men to accomplish if you just lined them up with their hands tied behind their backs. You know what they were doing? They were fighting amongst themselves. It was self-destruction. Did you know that when we fail to stand true, and we fall, it's going to affect somebody else. It's going to make them more susceptible to falling. And when they fall, you got two of them leaning on. And this, the acceleration of the falling increases. It's called a domino effect. I've seen it happen in relationships. I've seen it happen spiritually, unfortunately. But it don't have to happen. It don't have to happen. I'd like to turn to James, the third chapter. This is probably where the key domino is. James chapter 3. I'd like to begin in verse 5. He says, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It's an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. It'll cause you to fall, and it'll cause someone else to fall. Therefore bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Lord, help us. The tongue, little member, probably one of the, not the smallest component of our bodies, but it's one of the smaller ones. Don't have a lot of strength in many respects. It's not like an old cow's tongue that's able to pull stuff up by the roots. But it can do some powerful things. And it can cause people to fall away. So I want us to be real thoughtful today. We have a choice in life. I can either smack my lips and make sounds that sound like what I'm eating is good and fling a craving on those around me. Or I can begin to say, that's disgusting. I just don't believe what they say anymore. I think they're wrong. And you know what will happen? We'll either have a snowball or we'll have a domino effect. I believe this. I believe we can make a difference, each one of us. I want to see a snowball effect. I'd like to have to make bigger doors on the chapel because fat souls couldn't get in. I want to see us, I'm not talking about literally, okay? I'm talking about spiritual fatness. I want other people to come and say, I want them to come and be melted by the love of God and the Spirit that's manifested in our midst. I want them to be attracted. I want to go back. You know, when's the next time y'all have service? I want to be there. I want to be in that presence. I want to learn how to have faith and add to faith knowledge and temperance and all of those. I want to add all of those things in. That's the atmosphere I want us to have. But if we're not careful, instead, we'll create an atmosphere of a domino effect. I'll push you, and you'll fall on somebody else, and before you know, everybody's down. You know, the enemy wants to do that. Wants to bring a discouraging word, whisper it in our ear, share it with somebody else. Everybody's mouth gets, we call it down in the mouth, or I did when I was growing up. What's the matter with you? You're down in the mouth. Well, that means you're discouraged. You know, the enemy wants to cause a domino effect of discouragement to sweep through all of us. Instead, there is opportunity. There's an opportunity for spiritual growth. There's an opportunity for spiritual fatness. There's an opportunity for us to be a child of God. Isn't that a wonderful thought? I got a text this morning. Don't have my phone with me, so I can't read it to you. Somebody sent me a text, and he said, this is to the fact that today is another day to worship the Lord amongst the camp of the saints. It's another day. It's the Lord blessed us with a beautiful day outside, and we can have the beauty of Christ dwelling in our hearts and in our spirits, and we can portray that to where others look on and say, I don't know exactly how it all works, but I want some of that. I want that. I want to be around that. I want to be one of those kind of birds. I want to have those kind of feathers. I want to flock together with those kind of people. So I want us to be challenged this morning to be a snowball and not be a domino. you pray for me.